Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Avengers Podcast. That is one word, ladies and gentlemen, A-B-I-N-G-E-R-S Podcast. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. But I'm just one of your hosts, Brandon. I can't do it alone. Clinton, welcome back, dude!
We are back, baby! What's up, everybody?
The band is back.
We've been here.
But the three of us are back.
Is back together.
The three of us are back.
There it is. Amy's not very thrilled, but I'm happy to be back.
I am thrilled.
I am happy you're back, Clinton. Amy, how are you doing?
I'm sad.
Sad that Clinton's back?
Yep.
No. This movie made me sad.
Hey, guys. Well, you know what doesn't make me sad? A new patron. A new patron never makes me sad. And yeah, we got one. So, Jordan Roberts, thank you so much. If you want to be just like Jordan and get a shout out, $1, $3, $5 tiers, patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. We have exclusive content not found anywhere else. We just released Avengers Growing Up. A lot of our patrons loved it. We have a Discord. You can chat with us anytime and you get a shout out on the show. All that more, $1, $3, $5. patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. Jordan, welcome to the Patreon, man.
We're kind of cool.
Sometimes.
Bienvenidos al el frío.
I feel like it's getting worse and worse every time.
Bienvenidos al frío. Welcome to the cold.
Oh, cool. Well, things are heating up because we're reviewing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. So, guys, if you have not watched Volume 3 of the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise, we're jumping right into spoiler territory. So, here's your spoiler alert. Do not listen any further. Here it comes. Don't listen. Have you not?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think we're good. Spoilers are here. Please, I hope you've had enough time to grab your phone. Oh, I got to rush and turn it off real quick. But you should know this podcast. But maybe it's your first time listening. Who knows? All right, guys. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Does anyone want to go first and talk about this movie? Amy's shaking her head no, and Clinton's shaking his head no. So I will go first. This movie is, I think I can pretty much say top 10 MCU for me. And I honestly believe that it is the most heartfelt and heart-wrenching and emotional story Marvel has ever put on film. And it's a hard watch at times. It's almost the most terrifying watch at times. And if you deal with, if you're a big animal lover, or if you have animal trauma, or I'm just a fair warning, because it's going to hurt. I watched this Thursday night opening and was very emotional watching it. I watched it this afternoon to watch it a second time in 3D. And I had to pull off the glasses multiple times because I was crying again. And I, for certain Marvel movies, I've been able to say, oh, I cried twice, and these are the times I cried. I can't remember what times I cry at. I just know I'm crying all the time when I'm watching this movie. And the whole ride home, the whole drive home, maybe I'm a little emotional. I don't know. But the whole drive home from watching it a second time, I'm crying. Like, I've just got multiple tears just running down my face. And this is probably the last time we'll see James Gunn write and direct a movie for Marvel. This will be the last time we see this particular band of Guardians of the Galaxy ever together, most likely. And this franchise has always stuck out to me as a tier above. The moment the first one dropped, I thought the first one was near perfection. The second one was a great follow-up, and the third one was such a beautiful finale that all these characters deserved. I say all that. I really haven't talked much about the movie, just more how it made me emotional, but I am going to dive into Rocket's story. And that's going to be everyone's probably first word when they're talking about this is Rocket, and rightfully so. But in addition to Rocket and how powerful of a backstory we are able to see, there's multiple plates being spun. There's Gamora's relationship with Quill, Quill's understanding and loss that he's experienced while also having that wound continue to be opened. Drax finding out what he truly is and what he was born to be. Groot just being an amazing muscle. Nebula and her character development and the trust in the family that she's found. And I honestly, one of my favorite parts is Mantis. I think Mantis is a scene stealer for me. I think she's just gotten better and better every single time we see her, either on the big or small screen. So yeah, this movie, it's not without its faults. Adam Warlock feels like an afterthought quite a bit. And he is not fleshed out in a way we would want. But I would say with every Adam Warlock, there's a High Evolutionary, which is arguably one of the greatest villains we've ever seen on the big screen. I can't say enough great things about this. This movie, what an emotional punch in the stomach over and over and over, but yet what a satisfying conclusion to my favorite group of heroes in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the Guardians of the Galaxy. I absolutely love this movie. I highly recommend anyone go see it. Bring tissues. I didn't know I had that many tear ducts. When I was crying driving home, there was like areas I was like, what the hell? It was like a spider web. Like just, it was just so much was pouring out. And I'm just crying. I don't know. Anyway, fantastic movie. I was blown away. And yeah, James Gunn, hell. He just solidifies his resume for DC, and I'm excited to see what happens next for his career. So I have been very long-winded. I'm going to start with Emmy because Clinton, we're going to let the people just clamoring to hear him just wait a little bit longer. Emmy, what did you think of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3?
I've got to echo two of the first adjectives that you used to describe this movie. I would also 100% use and wrote down in my notes. Absolutely heart-wrenching and emotional. That villain of the High Evolutionary was such a fucking villain. I know that people have had issues with Marvel having one-off villains, and this was one that I was absolutely rooting for being a one-off villain because I hated him so much. I loved seeing the group fight together again. That hallway fight scene, that one shot, was phenomenal. It was incredible. I really felt the finality of this trilogy like coming to a close. I think that they did that well, and they made it feel like an ending that I'm okay with, but also absolutely gutted by. I loved where they left every character. I love the arc that each character got in this. It was amazing. And like Brandon said, I cried multiple times the first viewing. I cried multiple times the second viewing. It's just a really, really emotional story, not just with Rocket, but with a lot of other characters as well. Jeez, it hits you. It hits you hard. And it did not hit me in the way that I thought it was going to hit me, but it still absolutely hit me.
Well said, Emmy. Clinton, you have probably been more outspoken about the Guardians franchise than Emmy and I. With that said, you've also really loved Rocket more. You've been outspoken about Rocket's character development and how much you've enjoyed him in the movies as well. So you're kind of the wild card here. I'm curious to hear what you thought of Guardians 3.
It had highlights for me, this movie. I thought the movie overall was kind of meh, in my opinion.
Damn.
I thought it was very drawn out. I thought it should not have been 2.5 hours. The parts that got me that I enjoyed were the Rocket parts. I did get emotional two different times in the movie with Rocket and his story. And that's what I was invested in. And a lot of the other parts of it felt like fluff to me. I wanted more fleshed out, like more of that story instead of the jump back and forth. There was some big highlights. I feel like I think you're right in the finality of it. I think they did do a good job wrapping it in a bow for the end of the franchise, for this group of Guardians. I think they did that well. I liked seeing this side of Gamora. I liked seeing a side of her that makes me think this was the daughter of Thanos, you know, with that kind of aggression and like I liked seeing that side a bit instead of making it another like thing about trying to get her to remember their love. The hallway fight scene was a standout. A lot of the jokes didn't land for me in this one for some reason.
So you don't have a sense of humor anymore, apparently, after your month off.
No, it's not that. I think I'm ready. And you know me with Guardians. I'm not a big fanatic of the Guardians. That like I'll take it or leave it. Like it's fine, but I'm not love the Guardians. I like the grounded stuff more, like the Earth stuff in the MCU, I think. And I thought some of the stuff was just silly in this that didn't really, with the heaviness of what we were dealing with, I felt like there was a lot in it that was just silly with, like, in comparison to what the heavy stuff with Rocket. Now, the stuff with Rocket, his past and all that, oh my gosh, heavy, heavy stuff. Real pissed about Warlock. That pissed me off how they did him. Made him a joke. I don't like that. It felt very the word to me, the way they did him in Love and Thunder is how Warlock felt for me in this. Like, he's going to be the joke. Warlock in the comics is wild. Like, and just to make him a joke like that, I hated that. So it was a mixed bag for me.
All right.
It was okay.
All right. Well, that is...
I'm even more interested to dig into this now that we have... I thought it was going to be all three of us would be like, this movie was fucking amazing. And
oh, I think it's going to be a good show. I definitely will say the one joke that is overplayed over and over, and it's the only joke that I have one complaint about in the entire movie, is Squirrel, Rabbit, you know, like quick call. It's everyone. It's like, we got it in the first movie. We got it in the second movie. We got it with even Infinity War with Thor. You know, it's like, can we just stop with it? Like, we've heard the joke plenty of times now.
Disagree.
Okay, that was the only...
Disagree, because I wrote them all down the second viewing today. I wrote them all down. There's four different things that they call him.
Yeah, I know
one. It made me giggle each time.
But I will say, though, besides that, I thought all the jokes were fucking fantastic. They all landed. The soundtrack was one of the best. When The Dog Days Are Over by Florence and the Machine is playing at the end, I'm bawling like a fucking baby, especially seeing Rocket so elated and screaming, just not out of pain, but out of just happiness and elation, because we see both in this movie. And fucking anyway, we'll go further into it, but God, what a soundtrack's phenomenal. Jokes, besides the, let's call him a different animal every single time, all landed for me. And the emotional beats, I've obviously told you I cried quite a bit watching this. So, curious where the Rotten Tomatoes have landed for us, Emmy. We've got 1 out of 3. Well, you said it was okay, so it's not like Clinton gave it a bad review, but just more of a meh. That it could be seen as a little... So I'm curious where Rotten Tomatoes stands.
What do you guys guess?
I'm going to say 86%.
For me, it would be 90, but I don't know. I feel like... Yeah, I'm going to go 90%. If I had to grade this movie, it'd be a 9.5, 9 out of 10. So I'm just going to go with my own gut. Damn it, 90%.
All right, so critics gave it an 81%.
Okay.
Audiences gave it a 95%.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm sorry. That makes me smile. Good.
IMDb gave it an 8.4.
That's strong.
Wow.
That's strong
for them.
Yeah.
Yep. 94% of Google users like this movie. And on the Cocaine Bear scale, it is rated higher than Cocaine Bear.
Yeah. We got over the Cocaine Bear hump. That is awesome.
And it had a working title of Hot Christmas. And I believe, after doing limited research, that was because they were filming this and the Christmas special at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so they, even though the Christmas special, I believe, had the working title of Pop-Tart, they were trying to do both at the same time. So,
oh, they did them both, and they did them both wonderfully. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to jump in a little bit now. Guys, I first off, we'd be remiss if we didn't start with, I think, the story that probably hit all of our heartstrings quite hard. So we're going to start here. I know that's probably an emotional place to begin, but Rocket's backstory And we obviously saw 89P13. We've seen that since the very first Guardians when he was captured, when they even say 89P13. It calls itself Rocket or something. We've seen that. Mm-hmm. But through this story, we see the bond he has with Lila, with Tiefs, with Floor. We also see the experiments and also how they are able to show and not show him being experimented on. And Nebula says a very powerful line. She goes, "It's worse than what Thanos did to me." And mm-hmm, and Nebula mm-hmm. saying that through watery eyes. Nebula is not an emotional being, at least to that extent that we've seen much. She has shown it a little bit, but don't get me wrong, but that was probably more emotion I've seen from Nebula. Not only then, but also hearing that Rocket's okay. And Quill, over and over, that's my best friend. That's my best friend, Drax, always. Well, second best friend. But still, always seeing how much Rocket has meant to the Guardians and how much he meant to Floor, Lila, and Tiefs, and how much he tried to save them, and also how much he went through. And he's an imperfect being. The new world's not for you. You couldn't put that together. It's heartbreaking. The fear and the dread I felt watching that hand come over into the cage and grab. And if you watch Rocket at the end of the movie, when he's saving the raccoons, he's putting his hand
palm up,
and he's saying, you know, and they surround him with trust and love, and how they cowered and quivered away. It's such a perfect fucking story. I have zero complaints. And to see the sky, and when he sees Lila again, but your story's not done. It's your mm-hmm. story all along. Guys, I hate to bring this into it, but if you've had a pet that you've loved and you've fought hard to keep them around, and I always thought Ellie looked like Rocket. I'm just being selfish here, but she's a little miniature dachshund, and her little snout stuck out like Rocket. And I always thought if she could talk, she'd sound like Rocket. And just how much you would just do anything to keep them with you. And how Gamora says, "You must be a special pet. They're doing all this for you." There's a lot of people that would do that for their pets because they are special.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's a fantastic story. It's a fucking beautiful story. I would give it 100 out of 50. I know that's not a real scale, but I would give it just absolute beautiful fucking story. And it all starts with him walking to Creep by Radiohead. And he is a weirdo, but God, what the hell are we all doing here? What a fucking fantastic story. I'm done now. But guys, what did you think of Rocket's story and how he got his name and all that fun stuff?
I was gonna butt in and say that I think I started crying in that first scene when they showed the baby raccoon, and the way that they showed absolute terror in that baby raccoon's eyes. I went to the theater and saw it by myself, and I know that everybody judged me who was around me because I actually I audibly did like a ooh! Like it was so upsetting to me. They did a fantastic job of the audience, making the audience feel that terror from those poor animals. After he gets operated on and he comes back into the cell, I was terrified that other animals were gonna try to bully him or something. And I don't know that I would have stayed in the theater. but the way that they were so welcoming and they were so it's nice to have friends, and it was so beautiful. But then for his first word to be
mm-hmm. hurts.
That just broke my heart all over again, instantly crying. And Lila just showing so much compassion and empathy to try and just be there for him, even though it's between bars. I mean, This was a thought I had, a comparison, because when I kind of saw Floor and Tiefs and Lila, even they're a little scary looking. And it reminded me of the toys in Sid's bedroom.
Same.
In Toy Story.
Same.
But they're like, they're nice, they're kind, they're welcoming. And I shouldn't judge them based on their looks. Nobody should be judged based on their looks. And it just, oh, so many emotions with that. It was, God. Did you guys catch that Rocket was stealing little bits and pieces here and there? Did you guys catch that at all?
I did. That he was what?
Yeah, stealing little bits here and there for that.
Oh, key no, card. I didn't catch that.
For that key card.
Oh. The biggest one that I caught, especially on my first watch, was whenever he's in there doing the math equations, and then they talk about Sky, and he says Rocket, and then the high evolutionary is like, follow me, I've got that problem. He takes something off the table right then, and in my head I was like, oh, was he supposed to take that? And then later, whenever he puts together the key card, I was like, he was not.
It's brilliant.
I feel like that's like a raccoon thing, yeah. Like take stuff and store it for later use.
Yeah.
Just brilliant, honestly.
Brilliant, yes. Yeah, no, Clinton, obviously Rocket Raccoon, that has been one of your focal points watching this series. Watching everything unfold, what were your thoughts here?
Like I said, he is my favorite part of this movie and seeing his story. I hate that we didn't get more of him in the actual, like in the movie, like in the storyline. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like live with them, like he's knocked out majority of the movie, but it is nice seeing his backstory. All the parts y'all have mentioned had me in my feels, especially if you're an animal lover. Like it's hard not to watch this and see the hurt, but also getting to see his story, his backstory, let you know why he is so crass, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. He's so cautious, but all he ever wanted was family and to go among the stars, and that's what he got to do with a different group mm-hmm. of people, right? He wanted to get out of there with Floors and
Tiefs and Lila.
Tiefs and Lola.
Lila.
Lila. I cannot remember her name for some reason. But he told them he was going to, you know, get out of there and all that, but. So he's like soft on the inside and he's smart, but he puts up this wall because of how he was treated. And he don't trust people, which you get because of this story. And James Gunn has said since the beginning that he wanted to, this was going to be the story they were going to. And I really like the callbacks with his like life too, that you get the 89P13 and the things on his back and all the experiments. We see what happened, like his whole story. But we also get his character development as to why he is the way he is. I love all that about this movie. I think they did that very, very, very well. So
I love the way he's talking high evolutionaries trying to correct him. Cause he's like, you know, he's like Kant and he's like Kant, you know, you could tell it sounds so like he's still himself even in there. He's like, yeah, them's are angry, you know, like he would talk like that. And it was, I love that little throwback also too.
And the voice they got, it's a separate guy doing the child voice for him.
Yeah.
And I think it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like he keeps the accents and the inflection the same Bradley Cooper does. And I loved that.
Yep.
To your point, Clinton, I didn't feel like I was missing Rocket in part of the story because they gave his backstory during that part. And so I get what you're saying. Like he wasn't in the present story, but I feel like he was, like they made up for it by making him part of the past story.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
It makes a lot of sense. Cause on top of that point, Emmy and Clinton, I really felt when I was watching this, I missed him with the Guardians ragtag because like when he's able to like his input, his smart aleck, his smart assery, you miss that piece because he is
a badassery, like his fighting and with them is great.
And you see that with the No Sleep Till Brooklyn, little scene there, but you do miss that little, like you expect to hear some kind of little smart ass quip from Rocket. That's what when you hear all that banter, he is a really good piece of that ensemble. And so when he's missing, it is jarring, but also the story, to Emmy's point, is being told. And I know, Clinton, you know this too, but like the fact that this whole story is unraveling before our eyes, and it also increases when he does ultimately make it through, it makes it mm-hmm. more powerful for me when he's there. And mm-hmm. it makes it more apparent when he's absent. And so
it lands more when he's back.
Right.
Exactly. You know, I get that.
Yes.
Yeah. So
how did you guys take it as to why we're having these flashbacks? Because it's just every time you walk, when it showed him on the bed, is he thinking this?
Yeah.
Is his subconscious? Is he reliving? Because like his life to go to the other side kind of thing. Like,
I feel like, yeah, he's replaying.
Right. There was really no explanation. It just showed him there and then he would have these flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
No. And I don't know. It's
like, is the flashbacks for the audience or is this something he's experiencing?
Yeah. I think maybe it was for the audience. And I hope, honestly, I don't want him to go through it once, much less twice.
I think it was more flashbacks for the audience. So when he does enter that afterlife, you know who Lila is. You know who Tief's
is. Yeah. And they stop him. That right. He was actually experiencing that part. Right. That's what was happening.
Bingo. That's what yes.
Yeah. Which, oh my God. Second watch, I realized that when Lila says Sky, whenever she gets shot, she's saying Sky because she's it's going to make me tear up again because she's going into the sky. Oh,
yeah. No,
it's beautiful.
I caught that the second time. And yeah.
And I was going to say, because after Lila dies, and then you've got Floor, who's just going, Rocket Teeth's Floor, go now, over and over again. And that was another heartbreaking moment where it looked like Rocket had gotten, he did shoot the people, but the people missed him and shot his friends. And that was upsetting to me. I'm having trouble getting through this review without crying because this movie was so, so emotional and visceral for me. Mm-hmm. When Rocket finally does get to Lila in the like sky, it reminded me of Harry Potter 7 Part 2 when Harry Potter gets to Dumbledore. That was just a connection I made.
Yeah.
I realized this time that Rocket was singing the lyrics to almost every song that was like played for the characters, and I don't think that that's a side of Rocket that we had seen before.
No.
Like including Creep at the beginning, which I feel like is not the happiest song. It's like a song that I feel like is kind of like,
oh god, no,
it's like a down on yourself song. It is. And I feel like it shows where he's at that moment. I loved getting to see Rocket and Groot again in that hallway scene whenever
he gets on the back
of Rocket Groot. Gets on his shoulder. Yep.
Brings you back to the first Guardians.
Yep. But yeah, I 100% thought that Rocket was not going to make it. Did you guys?
No, I knew Rocket would make it because he was the focal point. I thought someone would die in this film.
Oh, everyone.
Okay.
Everyone thought.
Neither of the Guardians. And I'm disappointed they did.
Okay. So, yeah, let that be the question. That's the question that we need to answer next. Are we done talking about Rocket?
I feel weird.
I mean, he'll be brought up, I think, throughout the whole thing. This was his story.
Yeah. So I think that is the question, though. Clinton, you've already kind of answered it. I want to kind of go a little bit further. So you were disappointed that no one from the Guardians died in this movie, correct?
Yeah. That sounds so fucked. I know that sounds fucked.
Why does it sound fucked in this and it didn't sound fucked in Quantumania? Because y'all were clamoring for somebody to die in Quantumania.
I wanted Hank to die.
I just thought... And maybe I brought this up in that, like, I thought this was a finale for them. I guess in my head thought someone would go, and with the things that had been said with Batista and saying he won't do a James Gunn movie, I'm pretty sure what's her name who plays Gamora said the same thing. Like, I thought someone, and it would really
solidify
this is the end of this era of Guardians. So kind of wanted, I didn't want it, but I feel like it would have hurt more. I don't know. I'm a glutton for punishment. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely, I disagree. I think the biggest thing was everyone expected someone to die, And I think everyone, and now Amy's going to be mad at me because I was like, "This, you were this way in Quantumania, and now you're going to be this way in Guardians."
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Hey,
exactly.
Hey, let me speak. Let me speak. My expectation, my expectation in Quantumania was no one was going to die, but I hope someone dies. And my expectation for Guardians was a lot of people are going to die. And I'm actually happy that they kind of swerved us in a way. I really think that they wanted everyone to,
they did.
And I think that was good storytelling because at the end we didn't, I didn't need a death to have a satisfying story. They did enough of that already. Drax had a satisfying ending without a death needed. To me, Nebula didn't need to die. Gamora didn't need to die. These characters all have a satisfying end to their story where I don't need death. Now, Hank Pym, I'm going to bring my aunts. Yeah, no, that's not satisfying as shit to me.
You don't like old people?
I don't. No, I just...
That's ageist as fuck.
I'm kidding. No, but I'm just like... Hank's story didn't resonate with me. Hank didn't have some, oh, this is a great ending. Hank needed something for me. The Guardians did not. To me.
Yeah. Death.
Yeah. Correct. It would make me feel a little bit more. Maybe it would have actually grasped me. The Guardians had me. I don't need death. Now, if it happened, I was expecting it. But when it didn't happen, I was not upset by it because the story that you just said,
I wasn't upset.
Well, you were like,
that's a strong word.
I know. Okay. You were bummed out that someone didn't die.
I thought it would have made the movie better.
Oh, okay. Well, I love the movie as is. I didn't need death. Usually I think if I need death, it's probably because maybe the story is not grasping me enough as it already is. And this one, it already had me, so I didn't need that.
Also, like, if we never see them again, like, I'm gonna have questions. Like, no one died. What the fuck are they out here doing now?
There's an entire universe
gardening.
Yeah, they're watering the plants of the watering the plants.
I can't say that word. I'm sorry. Is that a verb?
I don't think it is.
Guardianing the galaxy.
Gardening.
I have a question.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't get to answer the question about death.
Go ahead.
She's fine. You are hot about this. Go on. Sorry.
I am coming in hot about this because I knew that this was going to be a conversation that we had. Mm-hmm. And I knew that this was a conversation we had about Quantumania. And what is that? What is it?
Critical?
No, but what do you call it when hypocrisy? There we go.
It's not a hip. I explained myself, Emmy.
I see your
whether
point.
You choose to listen or not it does not make it hypocritical.
It's not hypocrisy. If he would have said in Quantumania all people need to die in a movie, this would be hypocrisy. It was a separate movie with a separate story.
I still feel like it's a little hypocritical.
That's pretty linear anyway, thinking. That's very linear.
It is not hypocritical.
It's not. Okay. It's not.
I watched this thinking, expecting, honestly, at least one or two to die.
Agreed.
And so every time somebody looked like they were about to die, I 100% believed it.
Drax, I was like, honestly, oh shit, he just got shot. He's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The second time I watched it, it was in a theater that had weird Spanish commercials that came on every once in a while.
That sounds horrible.
And also I could hear the audio of a different theater, weirdly. And whenever Drax got shot, the guy said, I think, and I quote, dude, he dead. Oh, sorry, no, he's dead, bro. After Drax got shot.
Yeah, I was expecting. Going into the movie, I genuinely thought Rocket's going to make it out alive because they have that way of like the previews were like, hey, Rocket's not going to make it. I thought Rocket was going to live through everything. Now, don't get me wrong, in the moment, when he was seeing Lila, I was like, oh shit, I was bawling. Don't get me wrong. So that's good. I still expected him to live, but watching it live, nope, didn't stop the waterworks from happening. So I cried fucking a lot. But at the same time, I expect Drax, I expected Gamora, I expected one of them, or if not both of them, to go. And Drax, that moment, it was like, oh shit. We never really had that moment
in the beginning, right? Yeah. It was real early.
It was when they
were like, oh shit, they were on him off quick.
Orgo core, yeah. I thought he was gone then.
Yep.
I thought Rocket was gone at the beginning. And I was like, shit, that was real soon.
Groot. And then I thought he was gone was like, he got his head ripped off. I was like, what the hell?
Oh, at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then I thought that Rocket had gone again after they'd gone through all of that to get the code. I was fearful whenever he went to meet Lila. I thought that Nebula was gone at some point, but now I can't remember what point that was. Oh, I think it might have been in the hallway scene whenever she had her head ripped off.
Oh,
basically,
my God. Yeah.
Or like just like completely turned around. I thought that
Warlock beat the shit out of her at the beginning.
Correct.
That too.
Correct.
I thought that Star-Lord was gone because he went after that fucking Zune, and I was going to be pissed if that's what took him out. Which, let's get my one gripe of the movie out of the way. No, it's kind of two gripes. One, where the fuck is his helmet? And two, could Adam Warlock not have done that faster?
I did
almost replicated the painting.
Oh, I thought it was
did absolutely
my
replicate the painting.
My theater bursted out in laughter when it happened. They were laughing, and I don't know if they were going for laughs then, but I thought it was pretty funny because it was Anyway,
it completely recreated the painting, and it's Adam and a demigod because he's half god.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Kind of clever,
and I agree with you. I mean, I was thinking that whole time. I was like, what happened to that? We never see it get explained. Like, it would be cool if we saw it get destroyed in a previous movie or something. Or even in this movie at the beginning. Yeah, even in this movie at the beginning. Because that is kind of an iconic Star-Lord.
Yeah, he didn't wear it the whole movie.
No, and it's an iconic Star-Lord look.
I did not.
Yeah, I can.
I think that is the biggest gripe that I
can.
Had,
that's a fair gripe. That is 100% fair.
Listen, I have something opposite of a gripe. And I'm not a huge Chris Pratt fan. But for some reason in this movie, I thought he was hot as hell in a lot of the scenes. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's because he's thicker. I don't know if it was his hair was curlier.
Clinton likes
I don't know
thick.
What it was. There was something about him in this movie that was more attractive to me. And I'm not attracted to that man.
Well, it
Maybe
sounds like
I'm
you are.
Thirsty.
Sounds like you are.
I don't know. But for some reason, there was some. I don't know.
I'll let Emmy go next because I'm going to change the subject after Emmy gives her 2 cents about Chris Pratt's hotness.
Okay, well, it wasn't going to be about Chris Pratt's hotness. I was going to say, about the death thing, this was going to be my counterpoint if you guys went on that bullshit. Nobody died in this movie, but technically the Guardians of the Galaxy, as we know them, died.
Oh my God.
Metaphorically.
Oh my God, shut up.
Am I wrong though?
No one died.
We lost.
We didn't lose. They're out there doing Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, some of them are, and some of them are on Earth, and some of them are out finding themselves, and some of them are out being dads to weird genetically modified children. Like, the Guardians that we know are dead. We are not going to get another Guardians movie.
That's a well-said point.
Thank you, Brandon.
For that. That is so, like, maybe if we had some, like, sentimental music playing in the background. But the
that is what happened at the end of the movie. That's what I felt. I was like, nobody died in this movie, but the group, the Guardians of the Galaxy, has perished. They are no longer with us.
I could not agree.
They're all still here, but they are no longer the Guardians of the Galaxy.
100% agreed.
Thank you. 100% Thank you, agreed. Brandon.
I guess
Clinton.
The huge fans, that's sad. I don't care.
Yeah, well.
Wow, are you not a huge fan anymore?
I'm not a huge fan of the Guardians. I mean,
he's never been a huge fan of the Guardians.
Yeah, they're fun. Drax really got on my nerves in this movie because I feel like his whole persona is just let's throw in a one-liner joke that he's I don't know, it just gets old.
Oh, I love it just, Drax.
I felt like he really had his time to shine.
Well, before we get
towards the end,
I love Drax, but we'll get to that. We can go ahead, but I love Drax. Amy loved Drax, Clinton one note guy. Totally get that. But I want to talk about something real quick, though. I was amazed at how much this movie pushed the PG-13 envelope. And I'm not just saying because they said fucking. And I'm not just saying because they said fucking. By the way, Marvel said fuck. Yes.
For the first time.
First time ever.
Uncensored. For the first time uncensored.
I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I finish this point. The envelope I'm talking about that they pushed was the violence in this movie was probably the most gnarly we've seen in the entire MCU. They say, fuck, this is not part of the conversation to me. Also, when they rip off the High Evolutionary's mask, and which we'll talk about him in depth in just a moment, but that horrifying look as well. The scene between Rocket and the High Evolutionary, the just the deaths of not only people, because there are, they incinerate a guy and show it and like the after effect. I was like, this is a PG-13 movie, but it's really, it felt like if there could be between PG-13 and rated R, if there was like a PG-17 or PG-16 rating, I think this would be it. This felt more adult to me with some of the violence we saw and some of the terror I felt than any Marvel Studios movie before it. Am I off base here? I'm curious. No.
I think James Gunn, he's been playing in the R territory with DC. So I think it makes sense he did that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I knew that you can say fuck in a PG-13 movie. And I looked it up and you can, but it has to be, I think, after an hour and 10 minutes into the movie. And that's,
what the fuck?
That scene was improvised by Chris Pratt when he said, open the fucking door. Like, that was improvised and they kept it.
I also love that out of all the ones they could have used the word fuck, it was something so simple. And it's like, it's kind of how you use it. You're not like, it wasn't this big thing. It was like, open the fucking door. Like, that's what I loved about it.
I appreciated it because it was funny, but it didn't lower the stakes. Some of the problems I have with Marvel these days is the stakes are high and lives are at risk and everything's a joke. Here, the funny landed. But the stakes were still there. Like,
yeah.
He's like, open the fuck. Like, we got to go. Like, shit's happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
it was funny to us. It was funny to us, but it didn't take away from the moment. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
That's so you saying that Chris Pratt improvised that line makes me think that he also improvised the line. That's the you RoboCop wannabe Skeletor looking purple nurple piece of. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for the blooper version that shows all the different versions that Chris Pratt went through before they chose that one, because I'm sure they're gold.
It was funny watching that scene. I was like, oh, he does look like RoboCop. Like, I was having that moment like, oh, yeah, totally.
But like purple nurple in there. I thought that felt weird.
Yeah.
But, he was purple. He wore purple.
But PG-13, guys, do you think they pushed Emmy? Because Clinton answered. I want to go to you. Do you felt like this movie pushed the envelope, or did you even think about it while watching it? Both in violence and in context and story, did you felt like it pushed the envelope more than any other PG-13 movie we've seen?
I guess I didn't really think about it while watching it, just because I was just like, yeah, I'm going to watch a Marvel movie. But now that you guys have talked about it, thinking about my students being able to watch a movie like that, like, because I have 13 and 14 year old students,
right,
who technically should be able to watch it, like, it. See, okay, so part of me thinks, like, I don't know if they have the empathy yet and the, like, cognitive ability to understand, like, everything that the movie was trying to say and do. And so, like, that bit of me is like, yeah, it'll be fine. But then also some of it was just really, I thought some of the most graphic bits were the turtle that they put in the machine and evolutionized him.
Yeah,
that's not a word.
No, but yeah, you're right.
And then just incinerated him. Mm-hmm. Like, that was absolutely fucked. And then they did it again with a monkey and a rabbit and whole bunch of other animals.
They shot Lila right there. They shot, you know, there was, it was just point blank. These people are, you know, and they're ripping off the faces of people. Literally. I mean,
they annihilated an entire planet.
Yes. I mean, to me, I thought James Gunn walked right up to that line as hard as he could. 100%. And it didn't feel like, if you would have told me that was rated R or PG-13, I wouldn't have second guessed either one, you know? And that to me is where you're blurring the lines. I thought this was the most, I know we have Deadpool 3 coming up down the line. However, I wanted to bring that point up because this felt like the most adult Marvel Studios movie has ever put out to this date, just because of the violence and the vitriol that we saw from High Evolutionary, which we'll segue into in just a moment, but we'll get to you, Emmy. What you got?
Well, and not just High Evolutionary, but that whole first scene with Adam.
Oh, God,
where
yeah.
He's just fucking around.
Mm-hmm. And he's, finding he's out.
Chatting shit and trying to get banged. And nobody's big enough to bang him.
Listen, if
but you, not in a good way.
Guys, if you want to know what the hell she's talking about, $5 patrons. they have a clue. Anyone else, you're probably like, what the fuck? So anyway, patreon.com/Avengers Podcast.
Do you guys think Floor lived up to her name?
You're such a dick.
Oh my God.
You're really? Such a dick.
Right, and right there, I would
punch you right now if I could. I hate you so much.
I was going to say.
It's not like, a real animal. It's
I don't stupid. Care. It's the thought.
Again, I was going to say, whenever Adam Warlock is out there, and like whenever he breaks Mantis's arm, that's something to me. I feel like that should be yeah. Like that was a lot. There's a lot of blood coming out of Rocket. Punches Drax to a pulp. He did toe that line. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, so guys, I want to talk about High Evolutionary because this we did kind of talk about a little bit in our initial thoughts.
Sorry, I hate him. He sucks.
It's okay. I hold nothing against anyone that says that. And that to me is a great villain. The fact that Emmy, it may have cut out a little bit on our video call, but she was making a noise in the middle of it. I think the only time we've ever seen villains that really like, wow, it feels like they've crossed multiple movies. But there are a few that cross over into that one-off territory that seem to just stick out. Michael
Keaton. I don't think he's one off. We didn't see him die.
I hope he fucking died because fuck that motherfucker.
I hope he's gone too. But
no,
but
I like a villain like this.
But I will
for
say
for the right reasons. They're terrible.
This one is not one of those. This one, like, I'm sorry, Brandon. I'm totally cutting you off. I'm sorry, I do have to rant on this for just a second.
Yep.
Thanos, I get where he was coming from. Loki, I get where he was coming from. This guy is a fucking prick. Fucking fuck him up. He sucks.
But how great is it that we have a villain that is not, well, I get where he's coming from. We just have a straight up, what the fuck, you monster. And we've needed a villain like this in the MCU. Even Michael Keaton's Vulture. I can see where he's coming from. Thanos. I can see where. Yeah. Do you agree?
Which makes a fantastic villain.
It does.
That's a better villain, though.
It is a better. I would say it's a different villain. Yes, I think it's more intriguing. I do believe that. Don't get me wrong. However, we have not had a villain just come in and say, hey, I'm a fucking evil fuck. And I'm about to, you know. And this happened and it worked. We've needed one like that. And this, Emmy, the reason why you're not disagreeing, I think you're mad because you don't like him, but you're not
doing it well.
Right.
No, he's a narcissistic fuckhead.
Exactly. Thank you.
And he can fuck right off and die.
Thank you.
But to your point, Brandon, he thinks he's doing the right thing too.
He does.
He thinks he's making a better world, a perfect world.
I'm not saying his goal. Exactly. It's a very, don't get me wrong, but like every one of them, you're like, well, I see where he's coming. Even this one, you're like, no, that's fucked up.
Because animals are involved.
Right.
Fuck that.
Fuck that. Yes. And so I just want to talk, a High Evolutionary, I think a top five MCU villain. I really do.
I want more of him for that reason. He was a standout.
Yeah.
He just wasn't in it enough for me.
God, he was in it a lot for me. Too much for me. I mean, the fact that what I loved about this is, one, I'm trying to create a perfect society, which was an interesting take. Also, what I loved about this is he got to a point where he was so obsessed with 89P13 Rocket Raccoon, where his own allegiance, his own people were turning the gun on him because he had reached such a level of disassociation with what reality was happening. And to me, we have not usually, yes, sire, we're with you to the end, sire. And the fact that we were like, no, dude, for the better, and every one of them did, and he still took them all out. There was so much good shit with this. High Evolutionary, two thumbs way up. Yes, he's a horrible piece of shit. Hate him, the character, but I love that I hated this character because I think we needed a villain. I didn't, when you have such a huge ensemble like the Guardians, it's so easy for them to overtake all the narrative, and they still hit all the beats with the Guardians while creating a very interesting, antagonizing, and hateful villain. So high evolutionary thoughts. Emmy, you're balling up your hand in the fist. What do you think?
I fucking hate him. He's a total douche waffle.
All right. There you go.
I honestly, like, I truly do hope he's dead. I loved that Rocket showed him compassion at the end and said, I'm a freaking guardian of the galaxy, and that's why he didn't kill him. I really hope that Gamora went back and finished the job for him and just didn't tell anybody, because I don't want to see him back again, honestly.
When you say,
like, he what?
Why don't you want to see him back?
Because he's too villainous.
That's an interesting.
I think it's because animals are involved.
I think that too.
I think
that's it, honestly. Absolutely,
I've never heard Emmy true. Ever say they're too good at what they do. I don't want them back.
I'm sorry. He's too good at being bad. He's too good at hurting animals. I don't want him back. I feel like that's a good side to.
It's be okay. On. I understand. My whole point is he's invoking an emotion out of you. And yeah, it's a raw and real emotion. To me, that is great storytelling and a great villain. Sorry.
And we wouldn't have Rocket if it wasn't for him.
And I would be absolutely happy if we only see him in this one movie.
Fuck off, Clinton.
What? No, am I wrong?
No, did you... Clinton,
would we have Rocket if it wasn't
fuck for the right... The fuck? I would rather him be a happy raccoon and just do his shit than...
Eating trash out of a dumpster.
I would rather have that.
Back of Louis
but damn joint. It, if we're going to have him all fucked up, I'm going to love him just the same. So yeah, that's fine. But anyway.
You wouldn't be able to get near him if he was just a normal raccoon.
Yeah, I don't know.
And he'd claw your face off like he did the High Evolutionary.
Well, speaking of which, Clinton, High Evolutionary thoughts. What did you think?
I think it was portrayed well. I want more of him because I hate him so much. And you really want to see a guy like this taken down. So it makes you root for the heroes of the movie. I think visually he stood out. He looks different from the comics, but I love the way they did the stretched face thing. I thought that was clever.
And it evolved throughout. What? Like in some of the flashbacks with Rocket, he didn't have the stretched face yet. He just had like...
It was because he mauled him.
Yeah, it was once he mauled him, it was changed. That's what changed it.
The face we saw at the end when it peeled off was when Rocket mauled him.
You didn't realize that's what changed? Oh, yeah, Emmy.
Really?
He had his normal face the whole time, and then when he's mauled, that's when he's got the change.
They stretched it. Yeah. They stretched
that's
the face
when he
back
had
over.
The mask. Okay, sorry. Yep. I thought that he was just like, he kept like updating himself, basically. Like he was
they
trying.
They did talk about him going through treatments and stuff like that, but no, that's not the same thing. Yeah.
Oh.
But they didn't expand on the treatments, which my coworker brought up, and I was like, that kind of left that a question mark.
Yeah,
when he rushes in and he's like, I was doing my treatment,
and he's like losing it. He was almost mad when he came in.
Yeah, like what are they doing to him?
It was,
and they just left it there.
Yeah,
I don't,
it was that he was in the middle of a treatment, which you guys are right, they didn't explain, but that's when they finally figured out what Rocket had figured out about the aggression. And so he had left a treatment to go find Rocket to be like, how the fuck did you figure that out? You're not supposed to be capable of like independent thought.
Yeah.
Super grossed out. This has nothing to do with what we were just talking about. Yeah, super grossed out by the anus planet place.
Dude. Also
completely agreed.
Disgusting, but I also love that entire scene. I love them trying to, like, when he's like, you're in love with him, and like Drax being like, hey, like just like being almost like, why do you always do that?
It's, yeah, every time is what he's like, every time. You do that every time. Like they always go and like do this stuff, and Mantis always makes somebody fall in love with them. And that to me just shows the friendship and just
I know Dave Bautista said he's done with Drax. I know that. I know he said he wouldn't do it unless James Gunn's writing and directing, and we know that's not happening. But God, I could just take a whole, and we saw a little preview of it in the holiday special. And I know Clinton completely disagrees, and I don't care. I need a Mantis and Drax show movie, whatever. Those two are so fucking good together. The actors and are wonderful together. There's an amazing chemistry, the facial expressions, and also just the adventures and the craziness they go on. I love them together. They are so fucking wonderful. And also, speaking of Pimple Planet or Asshole Planet, whatever you want to call it, I love.
I would call it a space anus.
Space anus.
Could we just call it a
spanus?
Spanus.
Spanus. There we go. I love the comms sequence where they're like, "We all hear you," and like it was like red means blue, blue means. I thought that was fucking hysterical because like, why are we overcomplicating?
Absolutely amazing.
I want to.
And then Mantis goes, "Hello." You were right.
Yeah. You were right.
You want to see Mantis? Remember, I loved the. I liked the holiday special. Remember?
Oh, really?
We reviewed it.
Oh, I'm just shocked because I don't know.
But the context was different. They're going to kidnap Kevin Bacon. It's ridiculous. Like the whole thing was supposed to be funny. In the context of this, like Rocket's life is at stake, and we're in here in an anus planet with guys that have the most ridiculous suits, by the way.
Like, I it looked loved like it.
Stupid.
I thought it.
I hated it. I was so checked out in that. I was just like, and it's Why? Like, oh, we're here to make quick one-liners and be dumb. And I was like, there is a lot happening.
I always think of it in the way, like, we probably look ridiculous to another planet. We probably look like, what the hell are they wearing? And so to that similar vein, I know it's not that deep. And that's why I was thinking it. It was just like, they look like that. Okay. Like, I'm to me, out in space, anything's fair game. I'm not thinking one way or the other.
And to the credit of these movies, you can do whatever you want because you're in space in a made up world. Mm-hmm. I get that. But I don't know. It felt
takes you out of it.
It takes me out of it because I was very interested in this Rocket story, right? And it's like serious and heavy. And then I jump into like, doo, doo, doo. I don't know. Yeah, I just felt.
Okay. The serious, heavy Rocket story needed a little bit. Otherwise, I was just going to be bawling for 2.5 hours.
But I needed to put myself in the headspace of these people that are close with Rockets. Like, but, you know, then again, on the other side of the coin, I use humor to combat
heavy
things. So, but I don't know.
And I think also
a standout for me was Nebula. I feel like she had a huge evolution in this movie from where we've seen her before. And I like the Nebula part a lot.
I agree with that, but I also go one further. A huge evolution in the entire saga, in the entire Infinity Saga that we've seen, and the Guardians 3 and Holiday Special. I think she has just continued to develop and grow. And
that's what I mean.
Sorry. Like, yeah. It's just been remarkable watching Catherine Gillian, who plays Nebula, just completely bring when she showed
Karen Gillian.
I apologize. Karen Gillian. When she, I just am so, I love watching these little emotional ticks that you don't know. I even talked about it earlier. Like, she's emotional. Everyone got emotional throughout the movie. But I notated Nebula being emotional because it was a different layer. It was a different side. And yes, she's shown a little bit of it previously. Don't get me wrong. But she showed more of it. I think.
I felt like she stepped up as a leader in this.
She did.
When 100%. Warlock shows up and she takes the reins.
She does.
In the very beginning. You know, she. Mm-hmm.
But also one better there, Clinton, because I love that you said that. I also love when Gamora was like, "We're not doing this," and he's like, "No, he's the reason why I have this upgrade and this upgrade. He is family." She steps right up to Gamora and says, "You know what? Fuck off. We're gonna save his ass. We're gonna do what it takes."
You got to think when the dusting happened and all of them were separated, it was Rocket and Nebula.
Remember them
sitting on the ship.
It was Rocket. Rocket and Nebula, and then it was Nebula and Tony. Like, she's had relationships with some of these characters that we as audiences love so much that I think that we've started loving her because of her relationships with those characters that we love.
But she's also
and
within the Guardians, it was her and Rocket left. You know what I mean? They were together. So she was, and that's why I appreciated her a lot in this, because she kept it what I wanted. This is the mission. This is what we got to get done. I don't want to get in the way of any, like, nothing gets in the way. She felt like that grounding character for me that kept it rolling. That makes sense.
And when Rocket wakes up and he says, Where's Nebula?
Where's Nebula? That's the first thing he asked.
Quill is about to say she, because he thought that she was on the planet that exploded.
Yeah.
And he was about to tell Rocket that she had died. And he's like, her comms are popping up right there.
Of course,
Rocket. Whatever, her, like, signal.
Of course, immediately Rocket's helpful. As soon as Rocket's back, he's like, look, right there. Like, but also to that point with Nebula, I agree with you, what you said there, Emmy, just a little bit more context. Yeah, she was around the characters we love, but she was also influenced by the characters we love. But also,
yes,
she was able to be who she probably always is. With Tony, that there's that football scene. And when she wins and she's like ready to fight, and he's like, there you go, you won. That's how it works. And she's just like, that was fun.
That was fun.
Brought humanity back to her.
It did. And when
she was stripped of like her as a person.
And when she lands, Rocket's the first one that joins her and sits by her, because he's the only one left. Don't get me wrong. And you're exactly right. In Endgame, when they're all standing there, it's Rocket and Nebula. So they had 5 years minimum together, you know, figuring things out. And so that is such a special bond. And I love that point that Emmy brought up. As soon as Rocket comes to, where's Nebula? That's someone that means a lot to him too. And I think when you think, well, Nebula, blah, blah, blah. The fact that, and I also, one more quick note, I'm sorry, Amy, I'll get to you, is when Gamora is like, just like, I love it, like, well, now you see the person I've always seen. You know, you always thought, oh, Gamora, blah, 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 you know, this is my sister. And she was just like, hey, you know, I had to deal with Thanos in this one too. You know, like, I've dealt with a lot. And it was just, we saw more of her backstory in a weird way through Gamora's actions. What do you got, Amy?
First of all, just based on your last statement, just the way that I feel like the audience is always, since the first Guardians, it was kind of like
Nebula's, we felt the for hard
Gamora,
ass.
And Nebula's the hard ass. And now in this movie, it was that Nebula is the one that we feel with, and Gamora's the hard ass. But just a connection that I made while y'all were talking, Rocket basically did the same thing that Thanos did to Nebula, because he gave her some upgrades, is what she called them.
Yeah, but he tortured her. Tortured Nebula.
Thanos tortured her.
He was trying to make her a machine to fight for him, not for her benefit.
Exactly. Exactly.
Rocket did the opposite. He was helping her.
So Rocket took and did the same thing, but like helped her come into her own more. Like, he helped so that she was functional and she could be herself more, and it wasn't a torture thing, it was upgrades that helped her be more Nebula. And that, I now that I've thought about it, really is beautiful.
And she had a nanotech arm now.
Yeah,
I saw the nanotech at the beginning. It reminded me of Iron Man from Infinity War when he suits up against Ebony Maw.
That Rocket understands, because this movie truly puts Rocket's smarts on display. Like, the fact that Rocket understands some of the same shit that Tony Stark was doing and can just, you know, figure it out.
From me too.
Yeah.
They work together in Endgame.
And can just, yeah, but he can just do it. Like, it's like, I don't know. It just, this whole movie, it brought a lot of stuff full circle.
And let's go real quick back to Rocket, since we're kind of talking about him, when he notices the species, common name, raccoon. And I know the joke, squirrel, blah, 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 all that. Trust me, didn't land with me particularly, but it did land with Emmy. We'll get to all the four names in just a second. But one thing is, he is now, I'm Rocket, Rocket Raccoon. And that is Rocket, who he's been in the... I will say, for the record, and I've said it on this podcast 5,000 times, so you're going to hear it again. You're going to roll your eyes, and I understand. I was so bummed out when Rocket was announced in Guardians of the Galaxy. We are going to have a talking raccoon in space. Wonderful. Fuck this. Because I loved the grounded MCU. And I'm not trying to poke fun or do... I thought this is going to be the most ridiculous part. This is where this whole thing crumbles. We're going to get a little too spacey and weird and stupid. And not,
sounds a little raccoonist.
And the fact that not only did Rocket Raccoon stand out to me in the first Guardians, but in the third movie, he's the reason why I'm bawling my eyes out. What a fucking ride. And I always knew him in reading about him in the comics and any wikis. I was looking at some back information. It was Rocket Raccoon. And to see him fully embrace it, because he even says, when Lila says, he calls him a raccoon right before he goes back, he's like, I'm not a raccoon, shot right back in. He's still
don't need to finish, does he? He says, I'm not a
yeah.
I'm not a rat.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, he's still, no matter who he's talking to, it doesn't matter if it's someone he dearly loves or someone who just he just met at a bar. I'm not a raccoon. He's but then when he sees that, he embraces it. And something mm-hmm. about that messaging of embracing yourself and the imperfections and who you really are is not who you are. As weird as that sounds, I don't think that makes sense. But it's just, it was such a cool.
The things you hate about yourself, you finally embrace.
Yeah.
I think is what you mean.
Oh, no, maybe he, I don't think he knew, though. I don't even think he knew.
But he hated people called him a raccoon.
That's true.
He did hate that.
And I love when he said Rocket Raccoon. What a fucking, we didn't talk about it earlier in our Rocket thing. And I just want to say, what a fucking stamp on that story.
And you know, he's leading the Guardians now.
Fucking Captain, man. Just the chest bumps to it. Fucking gold. And you shouldn't talk that way to your Captain Quill when he says that in Infinity War. And then we see him become the captain at the end of this movie. Fucking love it. Fucking love it. Sorry. Just back on Rocket. We knew we would. So
if we do want to go back on Rocket, I think I want to go back to the absolute biggest point that I had with this movie that I just 100% all of it goes to Rocket for me. So they say we're going to save all the higher life forms. And then Rocket is like, I'm done running. And he goes down and he beats up the High Evolutionary and he's like, we got to save them all. Talking about the,
when he talk-
I guess if those are the higher life forms and these are the lower life forms.
And he goes, no, Pete, we need to save them too.
All of them. And I had a whole moment of battling with myself because if I were in that situation, I would be Rocket and I would be that person that would be like, no, we're saving this kangaroo and this freaking elephant seal and this, we're saving all of them. Like, we're saving every fucking one of these animals.
Would you?
And absolutely, 100%, I would.
You would do that.
Oh, yeah. I would sacrifice myself for a lot of animals, yeah. But watching this movie, I was like, Rocket, I need you to make it out of there. Please leave them. And that hurt me. And the fact that he didn't listen to me and that he didn't leave them, that he did save them all, was... I was like, I thought that was what was going to cost Rocket his life. Especially whenever he gave his cons to Nebula, who was steering the ship. I was like, all right, that's the last we hear from him. He's going to go try to save the lower life forms or whatever. But
he rocked it. He rocked it.
Did rock it. He saved them all. And that was like, I think that was the biggest like cognitive dissonance for me. I had to like come to terms with the fact that had I been in that situation, I would have done what Rocket did. But because I love Rocket so much, I couldn't lose him to that. The fact that he did get all the animals back, I was like, hell yes, go you. I'm so glad you did that. And I mean, it shows his character.
Oh, and how far he's been able to show who he is as well. Clinton, what'd you say again? I'm sorry, I need to give you proper credit.
He rocked it. Rocket.
Yep. There you go. You got two.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Guys, I think I want
to... He has a red rocket.
Okay, no. We're done. Okay, so... Clinton's back. So, really quick, I want to... I don't...
raccoon penis looks like.
We talked about this a little bit. We're done. We talked about... we're segueing away from rocket penis. I want to talk about this because, Emmy, you really hadn't touched too much on this, and you haven't read much of the comics with this guy, so maybe there's no standards here that you're too upset or too invested. But Adam Warlock, he was a bit of a disappointment to me. I don't know. He felt very shoehorned to me. He felt very afterthought. He didn't feel that fleshed out, and he also felt like just big, dumb oaf that we've seen. And to Clinton's point earlier, kind of felt like Thor Love and Thunder a bit, which I like Thor Love and Thunder, don't get me wrong, but when I'm seeing the same character probably twice, I don't know. So what was your thoughts while watching Adam Warlock on the big screen?
So the first scene that he's introduced in, I was honestly watching this movie. So they got me with the little baby raccoon. I audibly teared. In the theater, and then Adam Warlock comes in, and I'm like, dude, what are you after? I was pissed. I was like, I don't know what you're after. You're just beating up on my people, mm-hmm. and I'm pissed off about it. Like, can we just talk about what are you trying to find? Because, like, if it's like a gem or something, just take it and go. And I know they explain it later, but for that little second of time, I was like, oh, this movie's gonna suck. Oh no. After that, I didn't hate him. I liked him as the comic relief. He was kind of stupid, and he didn't understand his own power. But I don't know. It didn't take away from me because I don't know him from the comics. Mm-hmm. What I do think took away from me was that he reminded me of Homelander.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. That is a really negative connotation. Yeah. That was the sticking point for me.
I think that's where the divide happens. I think some people are just tired of the comic relief from the guys that are pretty strong and powerful in the comics. Like, Thor is huge. Adam Warlock is a big character, not as big as Thor, don't get me wrong, but he's still a powerful being. And they're just always kind of just like, ah, let's just laugh it off, you know? And it's like, when's one of these guys going to show up and actually be who they, and yeah, he may, maybe this is not Adam Warlock's true form. Cause they even kind of hinted at where he was hatched from the cocoon a little earlier. So maybe we haven't reached that, but I still, that it's a stretch for me to have to like defend the character I'm seeing on screen. So I do want to get to Clinton here because Clinton was pretty, sorry. What you got?
Well, and I was going to say,
turned her off at Clinton. She's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm done. Yeah. But like, I don't know that he needed to be anything more in this movie. Like, we had the high evolutionary who was so bad. We didn't need more bad. And I think it did kind of piss me off that
I don't think it needs to be more bad. I think it just needs to be better character. And that's,
oh, we're talking about Warlock, aren't we?
Oh yes, yeah. We are. And so, to me, more doesn't mean more bad. It doesn't, it just means more than what we got. We got this very surface level. I like this little pet and I'm going to pet him. And now mother and blah, blah, blah. It just feels very like he's not fleshed out in the slightest. And that to me is when I
don't think he was supposed to be.
Then that's bad. Then we don't need
him. I was okay with it. She says he's a child.
I understand. But if you're going to bring Adam Warlock to the MCU and you can't flesh him out properly, then don't bring him in yet. And that's my point. And I feel like he's not, and he's a child. Then why is he here? Why is he here?
Because
I feel like they felt obligated to bring him in because of
the second movie. Yeah, the last one. I agree.
I think that's all.
And that to me is not good character development. And if you don't have it, don't waste your time.
He proved the point that sometimes people need a second chance.
A very paper thin plot, in my opinion.
But hasn't Marvel done that 1,000 times?
Yeah, no, it felt very...
I don't know what you're talking about, Loki.
It felt very shoehorned.
Loki, Nebula.
So,
I said I was. I didn't say Loki. I said I meant like low-key. I don't know what you're talking about.
I see what you did there, Clinton. Adam Warlock. I know this was a pet peeve for me. Emmy is like, he's not a good character, but who cares? Then he's not a good character.
I was stoked.
He was fun to look at.
Okay,
I think Will Poulter was great casting.
Yes,
I don't like that they made him childlike. Even if he's barely going to be in the movie, don't do that. It felt like another Marvel trope of let's be funny. It's just like Warlock in the comics, if you know him from the comics, is wild. Like, he is powerful. And they made him powerful here, but he wasn't an idiot like this. Like a kid, like ignorant. Like I don't know. It felt like the thing that could accelerate Rocket's story in the beginning. That's who hurt Rocket, which, you know,
ew.
It started the whole storyline of Rocket and them having to go after finding his origin. I get that. But find another way. If you're going to treat this character that is loved by many people, figure out a different way to do it. There was no point in him being in this movie, in my opinion.
Yeah. What do you got, Amy?
If he changes or evolves in the future, would it make it okay? if we see him again in a future project,
he can always get better. Don't get me wrong. That's not a bad thing. However,
he's going to have to.
We are presented with one thing right here. We're going to critique what this currently is.
Right.
And what this currently is not a well-developed character in the slightest. And to me, it's what I can only judge on is what I currently have in front of me. Even if he develops great, I could still tell you, hey, that first movie, that was a miss.
His origin was not great.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's Thor: The Dark World. I loved Ragnarok. Doesn't mean that Dark World got, you know, suddenly, oh, his character development, that was better. No, it doesn't change that. So, Warlock, you know, take it or leave it. I could leave it.
Okay. So next question. Do you think they only added him to the movie so that he could save Quill at the end?
No.
I think he was only added to the movie because he was teased.
Yes.
And people wanted him.
Agreed.
That's some bullshit, because that movie happened 6 years ago, and I've forgotten already.
They still needed to pay it off somehow. They just didn't pay it off. I want to ask one thing, because we've talked about...
Well, hold on, real quick. I was going to say, if he was only added to save Quill at the end, he could have been removed and replaced by the Star-Lord helmet.
Could have been replaced by anybody.
Just saying.
It was not even a huge thing. It was, I mean, you could have had any one of the Guardians.
Also, what was his arc in the movie that made him good?
He apparently watched his mother get destroyed. And
wouldn't that make him angrier?
Well, but it was the High Evolutionary that destroyed him.
Yeah, he was angry because his mother was destroyed by the High Evolutionary. So he was against the High Evolutionary. Who created him? Oh, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? He basically now is against his own god.
Well, so is Rocket the whole time.
Yeah.
Do you know what are they called? What are the race called?
Sovereign.
The Sovereign. They're completely made up, by the way. Yeah. They are not in comics. That was a James Gunn made up race.
Yeah.
I like that the High Evolutionary too called them like an aesthetically pleasing side experiment or something.
Just for your looks. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong here. So
that's what I am.
I think in the comics, the High Evolutionary did create Adam Warlock, though.
I
could be wrong.
Could be wrong. But I'm let us know. Pretty
okay, but that is an interesting dynamic. If that is now the dynamic,
it's an interesting dynamic. But the movie never played on it. Never played
on it. Okay, this movie didn't, but it can go on to in the future.
But
I do talk with my hands a lot.
Do you need to bring?
Oh my god!
Do you need to bring High Evolutionary back to make that work?
Shit.
Okay then. All right.
Paradox.
So I will say this.
I'm gonna catch 32.
I do want to switch gears, guys, real quick.
Because that was wrong. I know it was wrong.
I know.
I said it was a catch 32 because this is the 32nd Marvel movie.
Oh, okay. I do want to touch base because we've talked about Adam Warlock. We've talked about High Evolutionary, Rocket, Nebula, Drax, Mantis. I want to talk about Quill and Gamora's relationship and how it was displayed on the big screen. I want to give quick thoughts on this. I was thinking 50 first dates. I was thinking it was going to be 50 first dates.
Yes.
I was thinking, oh, this is going to be very... I love that not only Quill, because I was getting annoyed at Quill a little bit too. He's like, you used to be this, you used to be that. I'm not that. I never was that. I'm not who that is. Like, they didn't shy away from saying that. And not only that, in this huge moment, like, my Gamora would have never done this and blah, blah, blah. And she just pushes the shit out of him and says, I don't know. What's so wrong with you that you need me to be something for you? And it was a hard line, but God, it fucking... What I love about this movie is in different times, and I'm talking about this particular instance, they talk about their flaws. Drax, you're a big dumb idiot. What the hell are you doing? You know, you just don't care. You're just very linear thinking. You know, but Quill... is like, you need to be this for me. What do you need out of yourself that I have to be something for you? That was a very stinging comment. And if you watch, and then Mantis and Nebula going at it, and you have to just be fucking miserable all the time, don't you, Nebula? Oh, get real, Mantis. They don't shy away. They have flaws, and they fucking just punch each other right in the stomach multiple times because family does that, friends do that. Not saying it's okay, but there's a real raw emotion that is displayed multiple times in this movie. And when Quill and Gamora's relationship is being displayed. We didn't see the happy ending. Yes, we had the little, I bet we were fun. You wouldn't believe, you don't even know. But we never see him. She goes off and she still has her friends with the Ravagers.
Ravagers.
And we also see Quill go on his way to Earth and reunite with his grandfather. I liked how they did the story between them. It's not like they got at the end and everything's romantic and happily ever after. And you're about to say, thank God. Clinton, I'm going to throw it to you, man. Like, did you like how this story played out?
100%. Because I felt like it was going to be a predictable thing of like, we're going to rehash this again. Quill's whole focus. And that was his whole focus.
Besides Rocket was Gamora.
But he got put in his place. But it's not. And I get it. I get Gamora's side. But I also get Quill's side of feeling that way. When you felt something with someone, it's the same person. So you understand where he's coming from. You'd be stuck in that when you fall for somebody and you're in love and you're dealing with that. And you thought you lost that person for the rest of your life and they're dead and then they're back, but it's not really the same version. It would be hard to let that go when they're right in front of you. But also on the flip side, Gamora, I'm just so glad they didn't finally get together at the end, because that would have been so predictable. And to your point, Brandon, I like the end of it when it said, I bet it was a good time. That was a cute way of being like, okay, I get it. Like Gamora understanding and still moving on. I bet we were, you know, it was a cute way to like not rehash that, but give a wink and move on. That was good. I liked all that. Yeah. I think that was played very well.
Well said. Emmy, what are you thinking here?
I 100% went into this movie hoping that Quill and Gamora were going to have their happily ever after beautiful. I listen, okay? The patriarchy beat it into me for years. Okay. Yeah. That's all Disney I wanted for this. Yep. I wanted the Disney princess shit. And the fact that they didn't get that, I loved it even more. I absolutely loved the evolution of their relationship and seeing her absolute rage when she says, I don't give a shit about your Gamora or whatever it is that she says after she pushes him into those panels. Was her rage there. Like, Zoe Saldana's acting was amazing. Granted, her hair the entire movie really ticked. She needed a brush, but everything else about her. She's a Ravager. Do the Ravagers not have brushes?
Yeah, can they not steal? They're pretty gross. I feel like they smell funny.
What do you think they smell like, Clint? If you could if you could just say, hey, a Ravager smells like what?
Dried slobber.
Ah, dried slobber. That's a good one.
That you ever had those people around you when they talk and they haven't drank anything in forever and they get that white shit on the corners of their mouth?
That is what it looks like Gamora does her hair with.
I will say her hair was a lot flatter than it has been in previous.
They needed a differentiator.
I see that. Okay, fine. Curl it. Do something. What she did was not okay.
Okay.
But no, I am very glad that they didn't do the Disney princess bullshit that I thought I wanted. That they did, like, this is a completely different relationship with a different Gamora. And it did develop into, I think, an actual friendship, but it was not like an actual relationship. They didn't end up kissing or anything, like, but they did find common ground, and that to me was enough. And it made my heart just happy.
Nebula had a moment with Quill.
Did she? She did. She did not. I think Quill had a moment with her.
Fucking hysterical.
And it was non-consensual.
Well, I love when she's like, don't look at me like a puppy looking to, like a lost puppy needing to, you know, be, I don't know.
Find something soft to lay on.
Yes. Oh my God. It was hysterical. He's like, well, he chose a pretty set. Like talking about, like, he used that to torture me. Like, I fucking love that scene. It's actually in a trailer, I think.
I went into this movie with zero expectations. I watched the first trailer that came out and avoided the rest of them.
Yeah.
And avoided reviews because I started doing that too.
Yep.
And I was like, I had high hopes.
Okay. All right. We'll just
and
end
then,
there. We'll
and then I guess, you know what? I saw a comment that said, I walked out of this movie. This is the first Marvel movie I've walked out with a feeling like I had when I left Endgame. like just that
emotional feeling.
God. I was like,
why do they do that to you?
I did not walk out with that.
It's like my buddy.
It's
my buddy who's like, hey, before I saw the first Transformers movie, you like Lord of the Rings? I fucking love it. One of the best movies I've ever seen. Transformers is just like that. And I've never enjoyed a Transformers movie since. Ever.
Oh, and hey, the one that's coming out whenever, it does not look like you're going to enjoy that one either. Because
I'm still going to watch it. I'm going to be disappointed. I know it, but I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
My 80s heart has to watch it.
One of the people who was the son of Hamilton in Hamilton.
Oh, nice.
Like in the Broadway musical. I forget his name right now, but yeah. He's fine.
Speaking of watching, do you know what I'm going to listen to soon? Taylor Swift's re-release of Speak Now that she announced today is coming out in July.
Oh.
Hey, actually, Clinton, do you want to know what our friend Rachel is doing right fucking now?
Oh, I know. I didn't look at her story.
Oh, I haven't looked at her story yet. Our friend Rachel paid a stupid amount of money to go see Taylor Swift VIP.
Nice!
Yeah, and she's real close. She took a picture of where she's sitting.
Well, you know what? I'm going to throw it real quick back to Guardians. Sorry to break up the Taylor Swift conversation. However,
no, I had something to say about that before we moved on, and then I forgot it. It's okay.
Okay,
it's
cool. So, Groot... Just a little bit about Groot. I loved Groot. He was muscle in this movie. Nothing transformative. I'm not pretending he was. But I love at the end of the movie. And this was Renee that said this. And I actually ended up getting confirmed by James Gunn. But Renee said it right after the movie. When he goes, I love you guys. And she's like, we can now understand Groot. And like, I thought, what the fuck? That's brilliant. She said that right away. And James Gunn ended up confirming this later, like a day later. But I was just like, what the shit? What?
How? That was the intention?
Yes.
That we're able to understand now?
Because
we've been with the family.
Because Gamora was able to. And then we saw, and then we understood as well. Fucking awesome.
That ain't how language works.
But Groot might be different.
You don't know how language works in outer space, Clinton.
Yeah.
All I heard when he said, I love you guys, different. Was Vin Diesel.
Time's different in the
MCU. Will you fuck off? I said it one time. I said it one time 3 years ago, you asshole. All right. Anyway, I fucking loved it. I thought it was great.
I just heard Vin Diesel when he said it. That's all I heard.
He was like,
it sounded so much like Vin Diesel.
Well, yeah, he's the voice.
Hey. I know, but with I Am Groot, it don't remind me of him. But when he said, I love
you're
you
just
guys,
a bitter old fuck. You're a bitter old fuck with an age spot and you just don't know what to do now.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I oh said it. God. I said
Fuck
it.
Off.
I that was another moment where I did an audible like
I'm
an
give
audible
you antifreeze.
An audible cry. And I'm sure that people around me were like, oh, that poor lonely woman who's over there. Just like because like you know when you cry so hard that you're just like that was yeah when he said I love you guys. Also, did you guys know that when Vin Diesel intermittently fasts, he also intermittently furious?
I knew for a fact this is one of Emmy's weird fucking setups. Here we go. Just roll with it. Because why would the fuck she know anything about Vin Diesel fasting?
You know, but he does not fast.
Exactly. But even if he did.
No, but he does fear.
I hate you so much. All right, guys. Well, I tried to cover the full picture of the Guardians of the
Galaxy. We still do the Emmys. Still got notes. We got to finish some bullshit.
I think so.
God damn.
So yeah, we do, Clinton. I know you've been gone for a month, but that you think we could have killed that while you were gone? No,
I would hope
it's only grown exponentially. So
should be called the Emmy Show and Friends.
It should be. Why have we not changed our name yet?
Well, because you hate change. You hate change.
I was going to say.
Yeah, so it's your fault.
I was very against change there for a minute, but if you're going to call it the Emmy Show.
Listen to when we made the announcement saying we were going to be the Avengers. You just hear Emmy. Clinton and I are back.
Digging my heels in the background.
2.5, 3 minutes.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
2.5, 3 minutes. Clinton and I are like, la, 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 having a good time. And like Emmy's like 3 minutes in, she's like, and I know that change is hard. Like, that's the first thing you say. The whole
makes it all sentimental.
And she's like, but we're going to get through it. You could tell she did not. Anyway, sorry. Amy, what's some notes you have?
I did try to like highlight the big ones because I was able to watch it again today in the Spanish theater.
Just go on, Amy. You don't have to talk about the Spanish theater. Just
it
go.
Came to your home.
Don't. We're Amy, I don't yeah. want the
a traveling theater.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and the old people around me were like, no, we don't want to see Guardians 3. And I was like, you can set it up in here.
That's all right. Great. Amy, what did you find?
Okay. This was going to be one of my credit scenes, but I feel like I cannot let it be one of my credit scenes. Nathan Fillion was in this movie.
Well, obviously. Yeah, he was a big part.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's not
and
even
a
like
weird,
a
weird, stupid suit.
I thought he was great. I thought he was absolutely hysterical.
It reminded me of the sumo suits.
And we also know Nathan Fillion from another space adventure.
Hold on,
I know this.
I do too. Having a brain fart though.
Star Trek.
Space Odyssey.
No,
he's not in Space Odyssey.
No.
Star Trek.
That's what their suits were based off of, by the way. Their little suits.
Spaceballs.
It was.
It's not Spaceballs. It's not Spaceballs. It is.
Anybody?
It's not Hitchhiker's Guide.
It starts with an F.
It starts with an F.
Far Wars.
Yep. Firefly. Good job, Clinton.
Woo! Good job, Clinton.
Yep. Nathan Fillion plays Captain Malcolm, or they call him Mal. I've not actually seen Firefly, and I'm sorry for that, but I did see Serenity, the movie.
You were shaming us like we didn't know what he was.
Yeah, from. Fuck off, Amy.
Okay, yeah. He's also
I'm
in.
I'm better than people, but I also looked this up myself.
Yeah, take your facts
excuse
and shove
me,
it.
Excuse me, I recognized him from Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, where he plays Captain Hammer, where the hammer is actually my penis. So suck on that.
Wow,
Hammer.
I don't think we're making sense anymore. We're going to keep going, though.
That made absolute, complete, and total sense.
Did it make sense?
But anyway,
absolute
okay.
and complete, total sense. Yep, your verbiage is great, too.
We may need to cut this one off soon, Amy. What else you got?
I don't even understand what you guys are making fun of me for.
That's even better. Okay. All right. Just keep going, Amy. We're good.
Okay. So Nathan Fillion, I didn't look at the credits, and so I'm really glad that I didn't see his name before I punched my mic.
Of course.
Okay. I loved his beef with that one coworker.
Yes.
He was like, yeah, this one is great. This is, I love
I'm
everything
I'm so proud
does.
Of you, dude. I'm so proud of you. And then this one?
And then this one.
That was the fuck you, you're cool, fuck you.
You.
That was like that.
Oh, it was so good. And like when that was how he connected to Quill, like in that moment, like he's like, oh, this guy's a little, he's like, oh, I got one too.
Yeah, I got one too.
Yep.
Did you know that Nathan Fillion was in the first Guardians movie?
Yes, he was.
Oh, he was. Was he one of the guards?
He was a voice of a prisoner.
Oh, okay.
The blue guy. He was like a blue guy, wasn't he?
He was, yeah, like a
he was
monster.
A CG.
Yeah, monster inmate or
good
something.
Good shit. I love that he's been in two movies then. That's awesome.
But yeah, like bringing it full
People
circle
People also
again.
Wanted him to play a role in Marvel, and what was it? Wonder Man. People wanted him as Wonder Man.
Really I would be down for him as anything.
Bring him back.
I have a friend that's obsessed with Nathan Fillion.
Did you guys ever watch Big Mouth?
Yeah.
The show, it's about like the hormone monster. It's I can't think of his name right now.
Nick
Kroll.
Kroll. Yeah.
Kroll. Oh, yeah.
I love Nick Kroll.
One of the characters is obsessed with Nathan Fillion.
Nice.
He's done voices in that show. And yeah, Nathan Fillion, he's good. He's good people.
I think you could say Nathan Fillion one more time. If you want to have a drinking game, how many times Emmy says Nathan Fillion, take a shot. You're going to be drunk as fuck.
Immediately.
If I say it 69 times, will he come fuck me?
I'm telling you, you've already said it 67 times. So you're two away.
Okay.
I think you'd like saying Nathan Fillion together because every
Nathan
time
you're Fillion.
Every time you're like, Nathan Fillion, Nathan Fillion, Nathan Fillion, you could tell you just enjoy saying
what, do you want me to just call him Nate like I know him?
Well, I just want, you can just say he, but you say Nathan Fillion every time.
Yeah. Okay, I do think it's kind of cool that I've got Nathan Fillion and Karen Karen Gillian.
All right. Yeah.
And their names rhyme. And
that's great. I mean, that's where we're at right now.
Okay. Cool. So I like to go to the Shooty Theater, and the matinees at the Shooty Theater have subtitles, which is my favorite. That's my new favorite thing ever.
Okay. Nice.
They're always like, is it okay that it's captioned? I'm like, fuck yes, it is.
I'm old.
So
sign me up.
So when Nebula and Gamora see each other the first time, and also when they say goodbye, the caption was grunts, and then Gamora grunts lower.
I love that. That's actually really good.
Okay. Okay. Nebula shops at the same store as Bucky. Because she's got to show off her arm.
The arm, yep.
I loved that Mantis got to show off her fighting style here, which is, you're a kitty cat. You want to dance. Extreme rage. Mantis got to show off.
She got to show off her mind powers a qualities. Lot. She got to show off her mind powers. I also love the connection with, I can't remember what they are, but they're the huge monsters at the beginning of Guardians 2 that eat the batteries. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it didn't even feel like
axolotls.
It didn't even feel like a mind
control. That's not right.
I didn't think it was. It didn't feel like a mind control thing. It felt more like an understanding. And maybe they're more scared of us than we are of them. Really cool. And when she needs to kick ass, though, no sleep till Brooklyn scene, the hallway scene. She's able to just kick some ass too. I don't know. I think Mantis is wonderful.
Which, and so bringing that back to Mantis and Drax both being able to show what they bring to the group. Like she showed what she brought to the group. Drax showed that he is capable of speaking different languages. And I mean, I get when he was like, you didn't ask if I could speak this other language because you think I'm just a big dumb idiot. I get it.
I mean, when, won't go into it.
The shoe fits. Anyway, yeah.
Well, like if you're trying to help, you know, a race, I think I would speak up and start speaking language and not hold my tongue and be like, you didn't ask me. You know what I mean? I would jump in there and do it.
I don't know that you and Drax are quite the same on the social spectrum.
That's a very good point, Emmy.
Lives are at stake.
I don't think it changes.
I don't think that matter. Not that it doesn't matter to Drax. I don't think it registers.
I don't think it changes the cognitive
ability. I disagree. There. I think
that's good, Clinton. People. I'm glad that you can think how cognitive minds work. I'm glad that you're better than that. That's great. Good job.
What?
Yeah, I turned it on against you.
Yeah, you don't know either.
I know, but I'm guessing. I'm not assuming the asshole part about it.
That's not an asshole part. That's just like how it should be.
Oh, we should all be a certain way. High evolutionary. High evolutionary. We should all be one perfect being. We should all think the same way.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Come on now.
High evolutionary.
Why didn't Drax die?
Oh, wow.
Wow. Because he was born to be a father.
All right, Emmy, take us out. What else you got?
Did anybody else love Quill's complete oversimplification of everything that he's gone through? When they're in the elevator.
Yes, I love Nebula's response more.
I love Nebula's. I love Nebula's.
Some details were left out, but yeah, this is just
Nebula's face too. Before they even get to her speaking, she's like, fuck, here it comes. And then like we've all been there for a friend. It's like, here's the same thing we've heard before. But then she's like, you know, missed a couple things, but yeah, fine. I'll give you that. You're okay.
And now she's back because she fell off some magical cliff. I don't know. I'm not an Infinity War or Infinity Stone scientist.
Oh, it was so good. So good. That's probably one of my favorite scenes, honestly.
Now she came back as a total dick. Did anyone else think
he was hotter in this, or was it just me?
I mean, I don't think he's unattractive, but I feel like his personality. I've never been attracted to him. Huh? Oh.
Never thought he was attractive.
I mean, I thought he was attractive back in Parks and Rec days, like back when he was Andy Dwyer.
Not then, not in any of the Guardians, but
this one hit different for you.
I think it was his compassion in this that made me.
He definitely was way more. He was definitely way more grounded. Don't get me wrong. He's still Quill. I'm not trying to pretend he's not. But there was a lot
grew of grew up. I guess.
Yeah, there was a lot of humanity in him. Like I completely agree from not a hot standpoint, but from a character development standpoint.
Yeah, but that compassion
that makes him hot to you.
Connection stuff. Yeah, those kind of like. Compassion. Well,
let's not forget
that'll turn me on faster than how you look.
Let's not forget your first note though, Clinton. He was thicker.
He's a little bit thicker too.
I mean, there's people that are listening to this. An hour and a half ago, Clint was talking about him being thicker. So yeah,
he was thicker when he was Andy Dwyer.
I'm trying to throw things at the board to why he was more attractive. Hey,
you know what though?
His hair was definitely curlier too. They did some.
You like curly?
He got a perm.
You like that hair, don't you?
No, I'm just saying.
Well, you've gone back to the hair a couple times. You've gone back to the hair.
What?
You've gone back to the hair a couple of times.
No, I'm just saying. I'm trying to point out different.
No, it's okay. I'm trying to
find that ass. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't think you are.
Nothing wrong with it.
Look at his butt.
Nothing wrong with it.
Bullshit.
All right. What else, Amy?
Okay. Oh, okay. I think the only final thing I have is, can you guys tell me the difference between a simile, a metaphor, and an analogy?
Oh, God, no.
You're going to tell us because you looked it up, because I know your ass don't know.
I didn't have to look it up. I teach ELA.
Yeah.
Teach math. You know what's funny, Emmy? At one point,
I do teach math, but I also
so you don't know definition.
At one point, Emmy, at one point, you did have to look it up. You did have to learn it. So quit looking down on others for not knowing. You don't know.
Look up anything.
You weren't born knowing this. So what did you learn? And you can tell us.
When I was in seventh grade, I learned Do we know what a simile is?
Yes.
Did you look any of these things up today?
I had to look up an analogy.
Okay. What else?
What does a UTI feel like?
Oh, no!
I'm just kidding. That was a joke.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, why do people listen to us more than any other Marvel podcast? And then I hear that, I'm like, you can't find that anywhere. Yeah, that's it. All right, Amy, just help us out. Explain it for us.
Okay, so a simile is a comparison between two things using
an analogy.
Like or as.
Oh, like or as. Okay.
Yeah.
Using what?
Like or as.
So a simile is Clinton's eyes are like sapphires. They sparkle and are bright.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, and I would do that middle school thing. You know what I mean?
Yep. Okay, so
how would you describe that in words?
He did a jack-off motion is what he did.
Yeah. You got to put the sound with it.
You missed it, but he was jerking his fist up and down near his crotch region when he did that. And then he flung it out in an open hand gesture. Close fist, up and down, open hand, up in the air.
Gotta have the noise with it.
I hope I described that to the point where you know what he was doing.
Okay. Okay. So a metaphor would be a comparison between two things that are not the same.
Metaphor.
But there is no like or as. So the sky is.
You're saying like or as.
Yes.
Like
it
or
sounds
as.
Like you're saying lie grass.
Ooh, I like her ass.
You're like or as.
And that's
you're
why
it too fast.
That's why I married her.
Without using like or as.
There you go.
Comparison between two things without using like or as.
Can you marry
I don't think
someone?
People that live in the world today can say words without saying like in between their sentences.
I agree. But can you?
It's different. So, okay. So Clinton's eyes are like sapphires.
Yes.
Because they sparkle.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a simile.
That's a simile. If I say Clinton's eyes are sapphires,
which is false,
that's a metaphor.
That just sounds dumb.
That's a poem.
Yeah, it's called figurative language. It's supposed to help
all right.
make language figurative.
Good.
An analogy is a comparison between two situations to try and help somebody figure out what one situation is.
I do that
based on another situation.
I'll do that.
I like a good analogy.
I do that shit. All it's an old man trait I have. I was talking about it the other day.
I don't think it's an old man trait. I think it shows intellect.
Oh no,
if you can come up with an analogy on the spot.
Oh,
I do think it is, because it's hard sometimes. It is hard to find an analogy that fits certain situations
on the spot. I mean, there's obviously trope analogies you can bring up, but on the spot to help people understand something, I think that's a good trait to have.
Oh, nice. Well, then maybe I'll think a little bit better about myself because I do it a lot.
And that's why you got that award.
I'm an inspiration. Listen to
an inspiration because of your analogies.
You're an analogy.
I love you guys.
That's a metaphor.
Guys, that's our Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 review. We are actually going to be live on Twitch this Thursday. So please, if you want to hang out and you're listening to it beforehand, we're going to be live Thursday, May 11th, 2023. So if you're listening before that, check it out.
May the 11th be with you.
May the 11th be with you. Yes, we're celebrating. Guys, if you want to
check. And also with you. Let us lift up our hearts.
I hate you guys so much.
That was an analogy.
I hate you both.
To the high.
What time are we going to be on Twitch? Do we want to say 7:30 p.m.? Can we say that?
I don't think so, because I have a band concert at 6.
Okay, 8.
30.
All right.
What's the date?
May 11th.
Be with you. And also,
God, I hate you guys. All right, well, TBD.
I need to look at my work schedule. 2BD.
2BD. But May 11th, we're going to be live Eastern Standard Time, somewhere between 7 and 9 p.m. That's probably a safe bet. So,
can we say 6 to 9?
Okay, 6 to 9 p.m. So check us out over there. We will post. And if you want to know when that official announcement's going out, it's going to be on our social media.
The day before.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Check us out. Avengers Podcast. You can find out when we're going to go live. And patrons, if you are a patron of ours, patreon.com/Avengers Podcast, we're going to put out a post where we want to hear your thoughts. So be featured on our show. That's $1, $3, or $5 tiers. You will be featured on our show. We're going to ask you what you thought on Guardians 3. You post a comment. We're going to discuss your thoughts. We cannot wait, and we're going to discuss it live. So join us live on Twitch.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk with our chat. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. So check us out over there.
And the podcast ain't boring anymore. I'm back.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right. Well, I mean, it was not horrible, but
that is big old slap in the face to me and Brandon. Just saying.
But
I'm just kidding. It was just an analogy.
Okay. Guys.
That wasn't an analogy. That was a smack now. That was some chatting shit. You should get banged.
If you want to support the show.
I agree.
If you want to support the show, obviously patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. That's a quick way to support us. $1, $3, $5 tiers. That keeps our lights on and our bills paid. We really, really appreciate it. And also lets us know that you really, really appreciate it. You also get bonus content from us on a monthly basis. We have 20 plus movie reviews that are on tap for our Patreon. So exclusively only confined on our Patreon. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Spider-Man, all three. Actually, Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2 is on there. We did Into the Spider-Verse. A lot of different stuff. Lord of the Rings 1, 2, and 3. All Patreon. In addition to, if you really like the show, but you can't really monetarily support it, that's perfectly fine too. A 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, goes a long way with helping us. So if you like the show, hey, they're kind of funny, or hey, I like their review of the movie. 5-star ratings. Written ones are really, really awesome too. Apple Podcasts, looking at you. So yeah, support your small little podcast today, Avengers Podcast. But thank you so much for tuning in. We really, really appreciate it.
If snail mail's your thing and you want to send us 5 stars in snail mail, you can send it to P.O. Box 5661, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37928. There is someone who checks that mailbox every once in a while, and it is dusty.
It's a little sad. Either way, though, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Before we head on out of here, Emmy, do you have any credits names we got to get to?
I do. I have one, and this is only one because I found out about it after the fact. It is not as hilarious as I feel like it should be.
Okay. Well, the fact that you have that kind of perspective, I'm curious to hear this now. What do you have?
I'm going to ask you guys, who did Pete Davidson play in this movie?
I
have no idea.
No clue.
Pete Davidson, 100%, was in this movie.
Okay.
He played a character in this movie.
Did he play the little animal?
Which animal? There were a lot of animals.
The one that Warlock ended up taking on.
No. A very, very good guess, but no.
What did he play?
He played the... Hold on, I had it all written down. The definitely not scary, really cool looking amorphous thing. Whenever Mantis opens it up and she goes, "Whoa!"
That's what he played.
That to you.
That's awesome. That is awesome. All right, guys, we're heading on out of here. Thank you for joining us. We'll be live on Twitch May 11th. Tune in 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, somewhere around there. Check our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and be a part of the show. We'd love to talk with you. We're going to have a good time. Guys, Clinton, Emmy, any final words before we call it a Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 evening?
I hate butthole planets. I don't know.
In case nobody told you today, you're special. In case nobody told you today, you're special.